Mr. Fleury?
I'm here.
Mr. Allison?
Here.
Mr. Boehm?
Yeah, here.
Mr. Davis?
Here.
Okay. Mr. Crawford, could you please lead us in the Pledge of Allegiance?
My pleasure. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America, to the Republic, stand under God, indivisible, liberty, and justice for all. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Crawford. There was no announcements, no action taken in closed session. Comments from board members. Mr. Davis, do you have any comments?
Not at this time.
Mr. Boehm.
Yeah, I know the district's been going through a lot, and it's a big adjustment for everything that's going on, but we need to make sure we have equitable access to schoolwork for all these students. On the second day of this distance learning, they were holding a management meeting while I was fielding calls from parents on what do we do. They filled out questionnaires on whether they had internet access or not, and there was no way for those students to or parents to contact anybody. There was no contact information. There was no phone number, no anything. So I instructed them to contact their school sites. Well, their option is you take your kid to the school and sit in the parking lot and do work. Well, you have a dad working, a mom at home with a two-year-old and a six-year-old and a sixth grader, and they're supposed to go sit in a parking lot with no restroom to do their schoolwork. You know, I would have thought that with the questionnaire put out that we would have contacted some of these parents to help make some types of arrangements. There's no packets being offered or anything of that sort. So I hope as we go forward with this thing that we get some more equitable access to learning for our students. And that's all I have. Thank you.
Thank you. Mr. Allison.
Yes, it's going to be a different world. We're entering a new phase in teaching kids how to be citizens. Jeff, I'm with you. I mean, I can't, especially up here in the hills, so many people don't have access. I know Comcast down in the valley did a thing where they're giving free internet to anybody that is in their area, I understand. They can't do that up in the hills, so we've got to figure something out. I'd really like to be able to sometime get some of us together physically, social distancing, of course, and be able to talk to Brian Williams and find out what is going to happen. I mean, what's it going to look like next year when we have kids sitting 6 feet apart in a classroom that's built for 30 kids 2 feet apart? And we have kids going out to recess five at a time. It's going to be a different world, and that's all I have to say.
Thank you, Mr. Allison. Mr. Fleury.
Yeah, I'm just proud of the communication we're getting from the district and the different people out serving lunches. We can look at the bad thing, but there's a lot of good things that are going on. And for a superintendent to come in with this is a horrendous. And I appreciate the leadership getting from our superintendent and from the people in the different departments that are out feeding the kids. I've heard a lot of good from the technology department. My daughter's a teacher, and she works with them, said they're very amazing to help with that. So we have a lot of good people that are trying to make this work when something's thrown at them like this. They're working out, trying to work the kinks out of things. And I really appreciate our leaders that are doing this.
Thank you, Ms. Fleury. Ms. Scott.
Yes, I would also like to thank our teachers and our staff for all the help that they've given to us while we are trying to get through this distant learning. It's very difficult for all of us because it's very new to us. But I just say to everyone to hang in there and things will get better for us, I'm sure. Thank you.
Thank you. Mr. Crawford.
Just a big shout out to all those cafeteria workers and nutrition services. They're really kicking ass, man. Great job.
Well, I would just add to that, Mr. Crawford, all those transportation folks that are driving those nutritional workers. It's truly a team effort that I see coming along. And granted, it seems like the playing field changes on a daily basis. And, you know, we need to try to address those changes as fast as we can. So thank you. Opportunity for employee organizations to address the board. Marysville Unified Teachers Association.
Hi there, Mr. Rasmussen.
Hi, is this Angela?
It is.
Hi.
Angela Stiegel, the president for Marysville Unified Teachers. And considering all of the uncertainty and the upheaval and anxiety that we're all experiencing right now, I wanted to take the opportunity tonight to shine a positive light on things. So I've devised a bit of a thank you list. So hopefully you guys don't mind if I take a little bit of your time. First and foremost, of course, I want to thank our MJUSD educators. They are absolutely the most dedicated, driven, and tremendously talented people I know. The words thank you do not seem like enough at this point. I can't even begin to add up the hours or quantify the stress and strain or explain the lengths that the educators in this district have gone to in order to provide continued educational experiences and learning opportunities for our students. Of course, I'm extremely proud and beyond honored to count myself among their ranks. And I sincerely hope that the feelings of thanks and admiration and awe that you and others hold for teachers right now will continue well into the future. For, you know, the way teachers are acting right now is not an anomaly. It's who we are. It's in our DNA. It's our makeup. So this is the same we always are. So hopefully this appreciation will continue on. But I also want to make sure to thank our students. We all know and we acknowledge that they've been through a lot since March 15th. You know, a number of our students, their lives have changed a great deal since then. Many of our students are learning in ways that they never even imagined they would be learning. And as usual, they're just as resilient as ever. Our students are coping and they're learning and they're overcoming a great number of obstacles and challenges. And in many instances, they're actually encouraging and thanking their teachers along the way, which is amazingly helpful. Our students are truly remarkable people who deserve our thanks and our recognition for their continued efforts and their tenacity and their good spirits. Along those lines, I also want to make sure to thank the parents and guardians and families of our students who have been incredibly understanding and supportive and helpful to their children and to our schools and to their teachers. Despite the fact that this has been a very confusing time and a very different time for them. So I want to thank them as well. I also want to make sure to thank Mr. Carrion, who has been more than collaborative and communicative through this whole thing. He's helped make a very challenging and difficult time quite a bit easier. So I want to make sure to thank him for the time and energy and effort he's put in to assist. And on a really personal level to end off, I want to make sure to thank the MUTA Rep Council and the exec board and the bargaining team. They've been working like overtime on top of overtime, helping me and helping all teachers, especially helping with the flow of communication and information. So they have been an enormous to me personally. So also thank you to everybody else who has been so supportive of teachers and to education in our district. And I hope all of you have a very pleasant evening. Thank you.
Thank you. Operating engineer. Was somebody there? Operating engineers, local union number 3. California School Employees Association number 326 and 648. Association of Management and Confidential Employees.
Inmates would just like to take the opportunity to kind of do the same thing and thank everybody. There's a lot of unsung heroes that you don't hear about as much during the regular school year or how we normally have things structured. And I think the importance of a lot of these folks has become very, very apparent during the last little bit of time. So for all the people out serving food, when you're serving food, seeing teachers coming, social distance, but having signs, you know, remembering students' birthdays, adding that personal touch for families, it just means a whole lot. And so it's been really neat just to see the relationships and the things between people. So just a general thank you to everyone.
Thank you, Rocco. Supervisory unit. Public comments. Persons wishing to address the board are requested to fill out a public comment card before the start of the meeting, give it to the secretary, board president, or superintendent. The public may address topics not on the agenda during this section of the agenda or ask that they be heard during the specific agenda item. Comments are limited to a maximum of 3 minutes per speaker, 20 minutes total time for public input on each item of board bylaw 9323. And on this figure one, when we're doing it through a teleconference, we do have the form on our website, and looks as though we have no public comments. Next, we have the superintendent's report. Mr. Cena.
Together, serving every student every day in every way. Since March 11th, the school world as we know it has changed. At our last board meeting, we were developing a strategy at that time in order to meet the elements of the governor's executive order. And since then, we've been through a process repeatedly of strategizing, planning, loading up, and implementing. In the next week, we were planning, and through the leadership of Ed Services and Instructional Technology, we created a continuity of learning plan, which is on the website, which includes 17 frequently asked questions of by parents and earnestly answered for parents, distance learning resources on the website, distance teaching resource, and teachers have been using this overwhelmingly. Even people from outside districts are accessing these resources. The week just before spring break, we loaded up, and district-wide, there was over 5,000 Chromebooks distributed and at the same time, teachers were gearing up, training through online with the help of district staff, and especially with fellow teachers, training and support to prepare for the launching of distance learning. April 14th, everybody, parents, students, staff, were all working to find their way in distance learning. Now 2 weeks into it, people are making their way. There's the connection between teachers and students is inspiring. The collective efforts of all elements of the district are incredibly impressive, and thank you to everyone for what you do to make all this work. The meal plan, the meals, Nutrition Services is now distributing meals 2 days a week, and yesterday was almost 12,000 meals in one day. They've been averaging 20,000 meals a week. And thank you to the members of the management team who have volunteered. Anyone who can has volunteered to support with supervision of the distribution of meals. Our focus is really, really focusing toward planning for next year. And a part of that is the LCAP, which just reviewing what we've worked on with the LCAP up to this point is we have a district video that's very user-friendly and practical that people are able to access and break down complicated subjects in a real way. It's also being accessed and being utilized as a template for other schools, districts. We have surveys out, teachers, students, families, community. We have twice the survey total from previous year, and we have three times the total participation of non-students for the LCAP. We've had our DAC meeting and our DLAC meeting, and the state has moved, recognizing that planning is going to be incredibly in-depth and really uncertain to begin with, has moved the deadline for the LCAP to December 31st, moving from July 1st. So as a district, we need to we'll get our district LCAP meetings and our two board meetings, which are usually held in June, but they'll be a little further along. More information to come on all those issues. Really, a focus for all schools is getting our head around next year. It's a balance of public health and desire to get the economy going. The central piece in that is schools and reopening schools. And that is a balance, as people approach the beginning of next year, that's a balance of distance learning and modified rotational direct instruction. At this point, no one really sees us starting a traditional school opening. And so this is going to be a key focus and much more information coming in the immediate and even distant future. Together, serving every student every day in every way, strategizing, planning, loading up, and implementing to help students succeed.
Thank you, Mr. Cena. Next, we have the approval of minutes. Minutes from the regular board meeting of 3/24/20. Is there any discussion regarding the minutes? If not, is there a motion?
I'll make a motion to approve the minutes.
Motion to approve by Mr. Fleury. Is there a second?
I'll second that.
Second by Ms. Scott. Roll call vote. Rasmussen, yes. Crawford,
yes.
Scott,
yes.
Fleury,
yes.
Allison,
yes.
Boom,
yes.
Davis,
yes.
Motion carries, 7 yes. Next, we have the consent agenda. Are there any items on the consent agenda that the board member would like to have pulled?
Yes. Mr. Boone would like to pull personnel services number 1, Tony Vernier.
Okay. We're going to pull personnel services number 1, the name of Tony Vernier. Okay. Is there anything else? Okay. If not, we'll entertain a motion.
Motion to approve staff's recommendation with the exception of item number 1 on the consent agenda.
I'll second that.
Okay, so Mr. Crawford, I just want to make sure. So the motion is to approve the consent agenda, except for the items pulled?
Yes, sir.
Okay, motion by Mr. Crawford. Who is the second?
Allison.
Mr. Allison, second. Okay, roll call vote. Mr. Davis.
Yes.
Mr. Boone.
Yes.
Mr. Allison.
Yes.
Mr. Fleury.
Yes.
Ms. Scott.
Yes.
Mr. Crawford.
Yes.
Mr. Rasmussen, yes. Motion carries, 7 yes. Now we're going to personnel services. Number 1, Tony Vernier. Mr. Boom?
Yeah,
Mr. Boom, let me interrupt if I could. Mr. Cena, can you send a text to Ms. Moore? Jeff, if you could hold on just for a second so we can get Ms. Moore back in the meeting.
Thank you. That was my first question, if she was still there.
Okay, thank you.
Are you there yet? Okay, thanks, Randy.
I'll let you know as soon as she comes in, okay?
Yes.
Ms. Moore, are you there?
I am, yes.
Okay, just wanted to, for the public to know that we have also with us Lindsay Moore from Kingsley Bogart, our legal firm. She's going to be with us during this item. Thank you for being there, Lindsay. And
of course.
So what we've had is Mr. Boom has pulled personnel services number one, Tony Veneer. Mr. Boom?
Yeah, first of all, I'd like to know if Ms. Veneer is in the audience. If she's in the audience, she would be willing to answer any questions.
So are we just asking out for her to reply or what, Jeff?
Well, I'd just like to know if she is comfortable answering a few clarification questions.
Yes, I'm here. I am.
Okay, so Ms. Veneer is present.
She is comfortable answering some clarification questions.
Is that correct, Ms. Veneer?
I'm absolutely comfortable hearing them. If when they come up, I'm not comfortable answering them, I'll give
Tony, it's really hard to hear you.
Sorry, Paul. I said absolutely. I'll answer questions. If they become uncomfortable, then I won't answer them.
You don't have to answer anything.
Okay.
Yeah, thank you, Tony.
And
just as a note, this is Lindsay, just to know that, I mean, these kinds of questions obviously are not meant to encroach upon any confidential information. So, Ms. Veneer, if at any point in time, like you said, I will speak up, too. I want to make sure that we aren't entering into any areas that we should not.
Okay. Thanks, Lindsay.
Okay.
Okay.
My first question would be for Ms. Veneer. Ms. Veneer, did you voluntarily resign from this job just out of the blue? You decided one day, you know, I'm going to, you know, I don't want to work here anymore. I'm going to resign.
No.
No. Okay. My second question would be for Mr. Cena. Mr. Cena, was there any evaluation process done? Was there any intermediation done? Does Ms. Veneer do her job? Did she do a good job?
Before you answer that question, to me, the answers to those questions could encroach on confidential information. And I would also pose the question to Ms. Veneer before we respond to anything of that nature as to whether or not that's something we want to be discussing.
That's fine.
Well, I just want to get clarification. So, Lindsay, you're saying it's okay if we discuss that matter?
I would. So here's the caveat that I place on that. I would not be suggesting nor encouraging anyone to be sharing particular complaints or concerns about an employee in open session in public. So to the extent that there's answers that can be given that are not of that nature, then yes. But to the extent that they would lead to some sort of concern or complaint with regards to an employee, then I would caution against that.
So I take it your recommendation is that we do not answer that question?
My recommendation would be that you do not answer the questions for concerns or evaluation.
Lindsay, I want to interrupt. It seems like you're breaking up a lot, and I'm having a difficult time hearing you.
Yes, I apologize. Just a second. Let me see if I can move. I want to make sure everyone can hear. So
that sounded much better.
Does this sound much better? Okay, let me make sure I get to a place. Phones can be finicky, and I want to make sure you can hear me. Okay, so what I said in response to the question is I would advise against answering any questions that would lead to information about the evaluation and evaluation.
Okay. Seems like we kind of lost you there again a little bit, but I think we got that. Okay. So is there another question, Jeff?
Yeah, so can I rephrase and say, Gary, does Tony do a good job at her job? Is that also something we can't answer?
I believe that that would lead to the same type of information.
Okay, thank you. Thank you. Ms. Vanier, what kind of a reason were you given that you wouldn't be in the same position next year?
The reason given in my conversation with Mr. Cena was that my leadership style was no longer in alignment with that of the district.
Okay. What's that mean?
I don't think that's a question for me.
I would hope all.
No.
Yeah.
Are we having a discussion, or are we on hold, or
it sounds like somebody's having a discussion in the background.
Okay, yeah, so it's not what I was hearing too, Jeff. I didn't know if that was something we couldn't hear or wasn't supposed to hear.
Well, it sounds like there's a couple board members maybe together and having a discussion.
But I don't.
I'm not sure. Okay, so I guess that question would be for Mr. Allison, would be directed at Mr. Cena.
What was the question?
Does that mean about it doesn't go with your leadership style? Yeah, I'm not really sure what that means.
Okay, and if you're
posting, that was just me talking to myself.
Okay, got it.
Okay, so that wasn't a question for somebody, Mr. Alton?
No, that wasn't a gas.
Okay, so Ms. Vanier, I don't know if I can ask this question or not, but was there any type of evaluation or remediation done between you and Mr. Cena?
No, there was not.
Okay. Is there anything that you would like to add that we can add within the parameters of, you know, this open session?
I guess I would just add, you know, I've been with the district for just under 2 decades, and I, you know, have enjoyed every minute. I think that our district and our special ed programs are absolutely 100% in the right direction, and I think that direction is 100% aligned to where the district needs to go. So I think that I'll be leaving you in good shape, and my staff is more than prepared to carry on with what we've been doing to keep us out of the red on the dashboard, unlike most districts in this state. And I think that if something were to change about my leadership style, I don't think we'd accomplish those goals. So I have some concerns about the district moving forward without my leadership. So.
Thank you.
Yeah. Thanks, Jeff.
Thank you.
So, you know, this is really an odd situation. I just don't understand what's going on here. I've, in 20 years of being on this board, I've never seen anything like this.
Nope.
Just doesn't make sense to me that, especially in the times that we're in. Ms. Vanier, how many times has this district been in mitigation over since you've been the head of special ed? How many times have we been in mitigation over a student?
We've been in one due process hearing in 15 years.
One due process hearing in 15 years.
We've had filings, but they've all been settled. But we've only been to an OEH hearing on one application.
Right. And can you talk about the grant that you wrote for the district? I believe it was last year.
Well, we wrote it as a team, for sure. It's a preschool improvement grant that the funds are used for designing an inclusive preschool. And we've been working with facilities and with Kathy Woods in preschool, and then our team to design expanded preschool opportunities for kids with special needs and kids without. And we just received that grant award letter just in the last couple of days.
Okay.
We're a bit confused on the amount, but it is just under $3 million.
Just under $3 million on the grant. Okay, thank you.
Right.
And your husband works in the school district?
Yes.
Hmm. And you got a house in the school district or within this area?
I'm sorry, what was that?
You guys obviously own a house within this area. You live in this area. Your husband works in the district. He just sent two daughters off to college, I believe.
Yeah. Uh-huh. Well, anyways, they're back home, but they're supposed to be at college, yes.
Okay. Anyways, you know, difficult times. So in light of everything that's going on in this district with this COVID-19 and all the uncertainty going on, it just seems like a silly move on our part to move this direction when we need the expertise of Ms. Rainier at a time like this.
Right.
And we have received multiple letters, and I've had phone calls from teachers, special ed teachers, about this. People are very upset about what's going on. And I just think that we need the continuity and stuff, and I just don't understand why this is taking place. It really doesn't have – there's not a lot of basis to it, in my opinion, other than you don't fit my management style. That doesn't make a lot of sense to me. So that's why I brought this forward and wanted to have a discussion about it. It just doesn't seem like something the district should be doing, especially at a time like this, and especially with somebody with the expertise that she has. So that was the reason for me to bring this forward to the board and have a discussion.
You know, I'm with you, Jeff. I remember when Tony came to Foothill, you know, and she's always seems to have done her job. She's always been right there. She's extremely knowledgeable. And I've gotten dozens of letters and emails from parents, you know, trying to understand why is she leaving. And I have I don't understand why she's leaving. I don't see how she, the way she is and her leadership style, I don't see how there's a conflict. So anyways, Tony, I support you 100%. That's all I'm going to say.
Thanks, Paul.
If I might just add, Frank Crawford, I've known Tony for all those 15 years. Her first year I attended an in-service for work in special ed, and with all the psychologists and special ed teachers were of five-star caliber. So now you know how I feel about Tony. I'll leave it at that.
Is there any other discussion? Okay, if not, is there a motion?
Yeah, I would like to make a motion that we do not accept Ms. Veneer's resignation and that we ask her to come back and lead us at least for another year through these hard times that we're going through. This just doesn't make sense to me, and there's really no basis for what's going on.
I'll second that, Allison.
Okay, so I just want to make sure. So, Jeff, your motion is to not accept her resignation.
Yes, and then to beg her to come back and stay in the position that she's in.
Okay, so a yes vote on that would mean yes, that we would not accept her resignation, and a no vote. I just want to make sure I'm clear. And a no vote would mean, and a no vote would mean, yes, we would accept the resignation. Is that, am I accurate there?
No.
What?
Can you repeat that?
So the motion that I heard was to not accept Tony Vanier's resignation. So a yes vote, as I see it, would be yes, we would not accept her resignation. And a no vote would mean that we would accept her resignation.
Hey,
is that right? Is that right, Lindsay?
That is correct.
Okay.
But so, yeah. The motion always also carried with it that we asked her to come back.
Right, right. Sorry, Jeff. Okay. So not to accept the resignation and ask her to come back and be a part of the district.
Yeah.
Is that accurate, Jeff?
Yes.
Okay. And we had a second by Mr. Allison. Is that correct?
Yes. Yes.
Okay. So we're going to do a roll call vote. Let's see. Randy Rasmussen, no. Mr. Crawford?
Yes.
Ms. Scott?
No.
Mr. Fleury?
No.
Mr. Allison?
I'm confused. Yes, I wanted to come back. Oh, wait.
So what is your vote, yes or no?
Well, I want her to come back. Now you got me confused. Does no mean she's coming back?
So the motion again, the motion is to not accept the resignation.
Yes. So I don't want to accept her resignation.
Okay. Mr. Boom?
Yes.
Mr. Davis?
No.
No. So the motion does not carry as four no's, three yes. And Lisa, did you get the votes how you need them? Okay. So now we need another motion?
Yes. I would suggest that you make sure that you have a formal action to accept her resignation.
Okay, thank you very much. So now is there a motion? We need a motion to be able to accept her resignation. Is there a motion?
Motion to accept her resignation.
We have a motion by Mr. Davis to accept the resignation. Do we have a second?
I will second that. This is Mr. Fleury.
Second by Mr. Fleury. Okay. So, Mr. Davis, your vote.
Yes.
Mr. Boom.
No.
Mr. Allison.
No.
Mr. Fleury.
Yes.
Ms. Scott.
Yes.
Mr. Crawford.
No.
Rasmussen, yes. Motion carries. 4-3. Okay, moving on to new business.
And Mr. President, I will sign off.
Thank you, Lindsay, for all your help.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Bye now. New business, educational services. Number one, information on stakeholder input for courses offered at secondary sites for the 2020-2021 school year. This is an informational item. Do we have staff to discuss this?
I'm here. Can you hear me?
Yes. This is Mr. Greco.
Yeah, this is Mr. Greco. So tonight what we're doing, a while back we had a conversation about courses and bringing them to the board when new courses are coming. And at this time there are no new courses, so let me kind of explain the reason for the item tonight. To start for the 2021 school year, we sat down for next at the beginning of this year with the counselors, and the goal was to create academic plans so that we could begin setting an academic plan that could be followed up by parents, teachers, and counselors in the seventh grade, and that would then follow that student to any school they transferred in our district up through they were seniors. So it was a way to help them to keep organized, keep on track for parents and everyone to be able to have communication. In doing such, we discovered that the area database was out of date, so we wouldn't have been able to report to CalPADS. So in that, we had to update all of our course codes. In the beginning to update all the course codes, we also discovered the CalSAS project. So in the future, our ARIES database is being linked with CCC, which is the Teacher Credentialing Agency. And so we used to report on our mismatches of credentials. It's going to happen digitally now between CCC and CalPADS, which is where we upload our data to annually for all of our accountability. So in that, we had to make these updates before we hit the CalPADS point this year. So as we started into it, and for those of you that have worked in the schools or for Randy who was a counselor, you know that when Lyndhurst and Marysville split a long time ago, everyone kind of took their course codes with them. So we, over the years, had built some data practices that were hard to be able to create the data we needed through different course codes and tracking. So since we were overhauling all the codes, we took the opportunity to bring them all into alignment so that they would be easily searched so that counselors could go by department to be able to run down and find what was an English class, what was a science class, what our CTE classes were. So in doing all of that, it was a lot of work between technology. And at this point, I think Amy Stratton is online. I want to turn it over to her to talk about this further, just because the coordination between the site and the technology department, especially Raul and Brian, and working to get this done happened through Amy. And so what you have presented, Amy's going to explain, is basically the current high school, middle school, and independent studies catalogs for all of our courses. And so they've all been designed now so that there's a number nomenclature that makes sense and follows through. So Amy, are you there?
I am here.
Okay, I'm going to turn it over to you.
Yeah. Hi, Amy.
Hi. Thank you for listening tonight. So one of the things that I discovered early on through the CalSAS process is some of the reporting is very specific to high school, very specific to middle school, very specific to independent study. And so it was very apparent that each of those school cultures needed to be handled differently. And so we started early on. Our high school counselors meet pretty much monthly for most of the year, up until recently. And this was a project that was brought to the high school counselors pretty much every month for the most of the school year. And so through a lot of input through counselors, we've gone line by line, course by course, and tried to come up with a system that every school site could work with. And the high school counselors have been fabulous. And then from there, we went through and went through the ARIES course requirements and created each of those courses one by one with Raul, and we spent hours and hours going back and forth making sure everything is as perfect as can be. And through all of this, and then when we got to our middle school, we brought in our principals, our vice principals, and the secretaries who actually take care of their master schedule building, and we've gone through all of the course requirements. And then, of course, we've been working with Grace often as well to get her ready for next year. And so through all of this, we've established all of our courses. We established all the CTE pathways. We put courses in place that may not be offered this year, but will be offered in the future through CTE. And we made sure all the course codes are tied correctly so we could get all the credit we can for career and college indicators, because all of those things, accountability, are tied to each of those course codes for each and every single class. So Amy,
I would just like to make the comment, this is a monumental task that y'all did here.
It was months of work.
My goodness. But again, you just touched on the very important part with regards to the dashboard. Because if we want our results to be accurate on the dashboard, we have to give the dashboard accurate results or accurate information. And by y'all doing this, that's going to provide that information for our dashboard. So thank you so much to you and your whole team effort of getting this done.
Technology has been fabulous through all of this. I think both Raul and I have learned so much that it's a little crazy.
Thank you so much. Any other comments or questions? Thank you again, Rocco, and thank you, Amy.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Next, we have student discipline and attendance. Number one, board policy 5132-dash dress and grooming. Purpose of the agenda item. The purpose of the agenda item is to request the board hold a public hearing regarding the revisions to board policy 5132, dress and grooming. The public hearing is now open. Do we have anyone that would like to speak to this?
I'm in the audience if anybody has any questions. It's Jolie here. Hello.
Okay, Jolie. Are there any questions for Jolie regarding the policy?
You know, Jolie, hi, this is Susan.
Hi, Susan.
At one point in time when we were addressing the dress code with all the different type of, like, maybe with the gang activity, and at one time they had, like, hats were, like, a major portion of it. Have we just missed the hat portion of it? And can you give me a little bit of information on that? They're allowed to wear hats, but we just have to watch shirts. Is that correct?
You know, basically the board policy in itself is kind of an overview, which the board has to approve. And then the administrative regulation is what's approved by the superintendent. So it's a little bit more specific in the AR. But by law, we have to allow kids to be able to wear hats outside, outdoors, but they can't have any vulgar language or anything on it. It does state, you know, with hats that they're not supposed to be in the classroom. It's, let's see, on the part here where hats are completely not supposed to be worn in the classroom at all, just outside for sunshade. But as long as it's, you know, in good taste and it's not vulgar or has anything that would cause a disruption, they are accepted.
Where is that, Jolie? Can you show me where that is?
Yes, it is in the board policy. Okay, the hat. On that. So you know what? Go ahead. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
I was just going to say, as you're looking for that, Jolie, it seems to me as I was reading the board policy and the new administrative regulations, it seems like it's a refining process. It goes, like you had said, an overarching board policy refined into the AR, and then it also talks about the AR of our individual school sites that are adding to this policy that suits their individual needs. So it just seemed like it certainly is a refining process.
Yes, I apologize. I kind of got them mixed up because they're so close. So the AR that comes with this that doesn't go before board basically addresses that each school shall allow students to wear some protective clothing, including but not limited to hats and caps, for outdoor use during the school day, but must be removed when entering buildings, and that's an ed code. So it still addresses gang attire, because in some schools have more issues and the gang attire changes. It can change monthly depending on that. So let's say, for instance, the school's having a difficult time with a certain color or some things that all of, you know, identified gang members are wearing. They can restrict that dress if it's causing the disruption and they see the pattern. So one school might have an issue with it where another school wouldn't, so you wouldn't need it as the, you know, a broad policy. So the board, and I apologize, Susan, because they both kind of mixed up because I knew it was in there. But it's in the AR. Mm-hmm.
So, Susan, it's on page 78 in the special reports, number 4.
Yes, in the AR. I wasn't sure that was put into the board. I thought that it wasn't. I gave it to Lisa, the updated one, but I wasn't sure if it was in the board packet. So that's good. I'm glad it is.
Okay, I see that. And I also, if I can address number 3, it says appropriate shoes worn at all times. I know that at one time elementary schools were not allowed, the students were not allowed to wear, like, flip-flops. Type of shoes, uh-huh. Because when they run, they might fall and create an accident. When it says appropriate shoes, who will decide that?
Well, I think that's why it's a case by case, because in high school, the kids are wearing flip-flops, but in elementary school, we would prohibit that just because they're on the play structures with the bark and everything. So then the school site has their own handbook that says what things are appropriate. You know, sometimes flip-flops are the only things kids have to wear to school, so a lot of our schools do have clothes closets to help them. But, you know, safety is our number one goal, but we also want the kids to get there, and we do, our schools are just amazing in getting the appropriate shoes for the kids. So it's on shoes, it's mostly a safety issue, a concern, unless there's something on it that's vulgar, and then at that point it's something different, but I haven't seen that.
Okay. Thank you very much.
You're welcome.
Hey, are there any other discussion or question? If not, is there a motion to close the public hearing?
Motion to close.
Motion to close the public hearing by Mr. Davis. Is there a second?
I'll make a second to close it.
Second by Mr. Fleury. Was that Mr. Fleury?
Yes, sir.
Okay, thank you. Roll call vote, Mr. Davis?
Yes.
Mr. Boom?
Yes.
Mr. Allison?
Yes.
Mr. Fleury?
Yes.
Ms. Scott?
Yes.
Mr. Crawford?
Yes.
Rasmussen, yes. Motion carries, 7 yes. Now, is there a motion regarding the revisions to Board Policy 5132?
Motion to approve.
Motion to approve by Mr. Crawford. Is there a second?
Second.
Second by Mr. Davis. Roll call vote. I'm sorry. Who is the second?
Go ahead.
I second it.
Go ahead. Mr. Davis is fine.
Randy Davis.
So Randy Davis made the motion?
He did.
No, I made the I seconded it.
Who made the motion?
I did.
Frank Crawford made the motion. Thank you. Randy Davis made the second. Okay, Rasmussen, yes. Crawford?
Yes.
Scott?
Yes.
Fleury?
Yes.
Allison?
Yes.
Boom?
Yes.
Davis?
Yes.
Motion carries, 7 yes. Next we have the Technology Department. Resolution 2019/20-20/29, CAMAS Microsoft Licensing. The purpose of the agenda item is to request the board approve the resolution for the use of the CITE, California IT in Education, and Microsoft Strategic Alliance, CAMSA agreement. Are there any questions for Mr. Williams?
The only question I had for this is Mr. Davis, was, is this a one-time or will this be coming up again?
This is a yearly. It gives us, so this is actually version kind of 2.0 of the Canvas contract. We were under the original one for about 4 years, and now it's the version 2. It gives us the ability to stay up to date with any release of a Microsoft operating system, whether it be servers or desktops, laptops, those types of things. It also gives us the ability to upgrade the Exchange email server that we use here in the district office. It includes all of the Microsoft Office products for all the computers that are throughout the district, and gives us the ability to update and upgrade as those upgrades come out without having to repurchase licenses. So it is a yearly. This one is actually going to also come with Minecraft licenses for all of our students and teachers. That's going to be a new thing that comes in next year where we'll be able to actually start utilizing Minecraft in the classroom. So there's a whole bunch of other things that come with it. But this CAMSA agreement, it gives us the ability to kind of stay with that. Just so you know, last year when it looked like this was coming up, I reached out just to see, okay, if I wanted to do just a one-time kind of get all of our licenses up to date all at once, what would it cost? And the dollar amount came back at over $250,000. And that would have been one time, which means any other upgrades we would have had to purchase when they came. So this is much more cost effective for us.
Thank you very much.
Is there any other questions or discussion? If not, is there a motion?
Motion to approve.
Motion by Mr. Crawford to approve. Is there a second?
I'll second that.
Second by Ms. Scott. Roll call vote. Mr. Davis.
Yes.
Mr. Boom.
Yes.
Mr. Allison.
Yes.
Mr. Fleury.
Yes.
Ms. Scott.
Yes.
Mr. Crawford.
Yes.
Rasmussen, yes. Motion carries. 7 yes. Next, we have business services. Number one, we have the CAL OES 130 form, designation of applicant's agent resolution for non-state agencies. Purpose of the agenda item. The purpose of the agenda item is to request the board approve the CAL OES 130 form, designation of the applicant's agent resolution for non-state agencies. So the Marysville Joint Unified School District will be eligible to receive funding. That's probably the important part.
Yeah.
Are there any questions regarding that? If not, is there a motion?
Motion to approve.
Motion to approve by Mr. Fleury. Is there a second?
Second.
Second by Mr. Davis. Roll call vote. Rasmussen, yes. Crawford.
Yes.
Scott.
Yes.
Fleury.
Yes.
Allison.
Yes.
Boom.
Yes.
Davis.
Yes.
Motion carries, 7 yes. Next we have Buildings and Grounds Department. The contract with Hometown Construction Incorporated for the HVAC improvements at Oliver's Elementary School, project number 8207. Purpose of the agenda item is to request the board award the HVAC improvements at Oliver's Elementary to Hometown Construction Incorporated and ratify the contract for the amount of $101,026 with a 10% contingency of $10,102.60, totaling the not-to-exceed amount of $111,128.60. Is there any questions regarding this?
Yeah, I have a question, Mr. Rasmussen. This is Mr. Boom. Has this work already started?
Mr. Barnett, are you on board?
Can you guys hear me?
Yeah.
Okay, perfect. Yes, so my understanding, this work has been completed. Dealing with our maintenance supervisor, this was already in motion, I guess, to get in there to get this taken care of. It was considered an emergency repair as it was down. So I'm not quite sure how this one kind of slipped through the cracks. I think it was in the beginning of all this COVID. But I believe that moving forward with this, it was just considered a emergency repair, being the HVAC was down at that site.
How much have they spent?
Can you repeat that?
How much have they charged us?
We haven't received the invoicing yet, but it's not to exceed the $111,128. So we'll have to see when the final bill comes in, because there, I have not seen any change orders come in for the contingency of $10,102.60. So it would be under my assumption that, being that no change order has been approved on this project, it would still be at the $101,026 as the lowest bid.
Thank you.
Yeah, I have a question for Penny. Is this something typical that a school district would do to start a project this big before ratification from the board?
Well, if it's on an emergency basis, sometimes you would bring the language approval after the fact as well. There is
So, Jeff, could you hear Penny?
Yeah, I can hear fairly well. So to ratify an agreement means to give formal consent, making it officially valid. Why are we bringing, I mean, I'm not just talking about that one, but I'm talking about some of the other ones also that aren't an emergency deal. Why are we ratifying contracts once the work's already been done? Especially for $100,000+.
So the question was, I'm sorry.
The question is, why are we ratifying contracts, especially some of the others that, well, when we get to them tonight, I'm going to ask about those also. We're ratifying contracts for over $100,000. The work's already been completed. A ratification is for formal consent. So making it officially valid. I mean, we could have done this work. The board said, no, we want to spend our money someplace else. And then you're in a bind. I just don't recall us ever ratifying contracts. It was an emergency, which this was not classified as an emergency. You identified them in the past.
Best practice would always be to approve the contract prior to work commencing. However, I believe all of the projects were approved by the board to move forward when we brought you the summer project list with estimated costs. So that then that approval from the board, which I believe was in January, allowed the maintenance and building and grounds department to move forward with preparing the bid, you know, due to timeliness, because the earlier in the year that we commence or with the bidding, the more likely we have good competition to get the best price. But I do agree that the practice always to have a signed contract prior to work beginning and continuing.
All right. Thank you, Penn.
Uh-huh.
Any other questions or discussion? If not, is there a motion?
Motion to approve.
Motion to approve.
We had a motion to approve by Mr. Fleury. Is there a second?
Second.
Second by Mr. Davis. Roll call vote, Mr. Davis?
Yes.
Mr. Boone?
Yes.
Mr. Allison?
No.
Mr. Fleury?
Yes.
Ms. Scott?
Yes.
Mr. Crawford?
Yes.
Rasmussen, yes. Motion carries 6-1. Next we have item number 2, the contract with Waterproofing Associates Incorporated for the district-wide roofing at Marysville High School, project number 8205. The purpose of the agenda item is to request the board award the district-wide roofing at Marysville High School to Waterproofing Associates Incorporated and ratify the contract for the amount of $45,800 with a 10% contingency of $4,580, totaling not to exceed the amount of $50,380. Do we have any discussion?
Yes, I have a question.
Sure.
Talks about removing all debris from the roof, pressure wash the roof, maintain clean and safe work area, follow all manufacturer recommendations. Are we fixing the dry rot and stuff before we're re-roofing these houses or these buildings?
Yeah, can I go ahead and answer that? This is Travis Barnett.
Yes.
Yes, as they go through, any dry rot that is identified as being replaced and fixed, we're not patching anything or going over any of it without taking care of anything that's discovered.
Okay. And has this already started?
It's to my understanding that this project as well was started, and part of that background, again, with it was that they were started based on getting best pricing and getting contractors out there, and that a lot of these roofs are in failing condition. And like Penny said before, they were previously discussed on board approval for the project to move forward.
I think my one comment, and maybe it's just the time with way we're having it with the whole COVID-19, but it is concerning to me that we get in the habit of this ratification, and I don't feel that's a good practice for our district to follow through. So, you know, maybe we're going to chalk this one up to the times, but Jeff, I agree with you. I think this coming to the board before, unless it's an emergency, probably should happen in the future.
Absolutely.
I agree.
Okay,
I agree.
Okay. So with that, is there a motion?
Motion to approve.
Motion to approve by Mr. Fleury. Is there a second?
Second.
Is that Mr. Davis? Second by Mr. Davis?
Yes, it is. Yes.
Roll call vote. Rasmussen, yes. Crawford?
Yes.
Scott?
Yes.
Fleury?
Yes.
Allison?
No.
Boom?
No.
Davis?
Yes.
Motion carries 5-2. Item number 3, the contract with JTB Design Incorporated for the district-wide painting at Ella and Kynoch Elementary Schools, project number 8206. The purpose of the agenda item is to request the board approve the district-wide painting at Ella and Kynoch Elementary Schools to JTB Designs Incorporated and ratify the contract for the amount of $146,400 with a 10% contingency of $14,640, totaling not to exceed the amount of $161,040. That's hard to say. Anyway, too many numbers. Do we have any discussion on that?
Yeah, I have the same questions, Randy. I mean, this
right.
job's, I mean, Kynoch School's already been painted. I know a lot of those upper windows and stuff have been rotten for years. I don't see dry rot repair up there. Travis, are they fixing the dry rot before they're painting these buildings, or are they just pressure washing them and blowing paint on?
They're to be replacing and fixing as they discover things, working with the maintenance department. If it's outside their scope of work, they're not to just be painting over any dry rot during these projects. And it's to my understanding, with talking to the maintenance supervisor, a lot of these projects are not yet complete. They've just started.
Well,
Kynoch
School is 90% painted. I just drove by there the day before.
Okay. Right, so we have to still go through on our punch walk and make sure that they didn't paint over any dry rot, that they are fixing and identifying any areas, because that comes with part of the prepping and painting in the contract.
And this is $146,000, and it hasn't been ratified, and the work's 90% done.
Travis, do you know if Ellis School has started?
To my understanding, if we're asking to ratify that these projects have started, they just have not been completed yet.
Okay. So, Travis, do you think it'd be possible if you got maybe you and the maintenance supervisor would get together and maybe give us some more information through an email regarding these items?
Absolutely. I think that would be the best way to go through with these ratifications, is to give the board members, everybody here, an update on where we're at with the projects, what the status is, and kind of an explanation as to why it was pushed through. I don't think that's too much to ask at this point, looking at these. And, just because, like I said, looking at them, you can tell that some of them had started. And I think in the middle of COVID, when this all started, I think that going through some of these, as they started, I would say that it's been hard to get out there and actually track who's on site and when they're actually where they're at with the project while practicing social distancing.
Would you have an estimated time? You think by the end of next week would be too soon to ask for that information?
Absolutely not.
Okay. Thank you. Is there any other questions or discussion? Okay, if not, is there a motion?
Motion to approve.
Motion to approve by Mr. Crawford. Is there a second?
I'll second that.
Is that Mr. Allison?
No.
No, who was that?
Mr. Fleury.
Mr. Fleury. Thank you. Second by Mr. Fleury. Roll call vote, Mr. Davis.
Yes.
Mr. Boom?
No.
Mr. Allison?
No.
Mr. Fleury?
Yes.
Ms. Scott?
Yes.
Mr. Crawford?
Yes.
Rasmussen, yes. Motion carries 5-2. Let's see. Number four, we have contract with George Roofing for the district-wide roofing at Cove Lodge, Yuba Feather, and Yuba Garden Schools, project number 8205. Purpose of the agenda item is to request the board award the district-wide roofing at Cove Lodge Elementary, Yuba Feather Elementary, Yuba Gardens Intermediate Schools to George Roofing and ratify the contract for the amount of $190,541 with a 10% contingency of $19,054.10, totaling not to exceed the amount of $209,595.10. Okay, questions?
Yeah. Question for Penny. Being we have a 10% contingency on these, are these some sort of a modified lease back, or if we run into other change orders, how do we get by that 10% contingency?
Well, it depends on when the timing and what the change order would be regarding, as far as, you mean if it went beyond 15%, or basically the 10% is already built into the budget. So that anytime, you have something, construction, you have your set contract amount, and then your budget should typically contain that contingency amount in case unforeseen circumstances arise during the course of completing the construction, or in this case, the roofing.
So if there are change orders over that 10% contingency, what do we do?
Well, I believe we should come back to the board for approval, and that would probably be depending on the timing and how, whether or not there was a board meeting that wouldn't at a timeliness so that there wouldn't be incurred additional costs. That might be appropriate time for a ratification. Would be in the
so the contingency doesn't mean anything.
Well, it's part of our budget. We make sure that we have that additional amount built into the budget.
Right, we have an additional amount in the budget, but if we have change orders for 15%, we still pay the change orders. So the 10% contingency doesn't mean anything.
Well, I believe it's mostly for budgeting.
Right, yeah, I understand that. Okay, that was, has this work already been started?
It's to my understanding that this work has started as well.
Thank you, Travis.
Mm-hmm. Any other questions? Okay, if not, is there a motion?
Motion to approve.
Was that Mr. Fleury?
Yes, sir.
Mr. Fleury, motion to approve. Is there a second?
Second.
Second by Mr. Davis. Roll call vote. Rasmussen, yes. Crawford?
Yes.
Scott?
Yes.
Fleury?
Yes.
Allison?
No.
Boom?
No.
Davis?
Yes.
Motion carries, 5 yes, 2 no. Next, number 5, we have the design and layout for the Arboga K-8 project. Purpose of the agenda item is to request the board approve the design and layout of the Arboga K-8 project to move the project forward while maintaining the current construction schedule. Mr. Barnett?
Yes. As you guys will see in your package, there is an updated design on property lines that we're looking at. We're looking to approve this layout as we need to move the project forward to stay on schedule. When looking at the first initial design when we started this project, we were in consideration of thinking that the drive on the entrance of the side of the school was a shared alleyway. Came to fruition that it is actually partially owned by the community center and partially owned by the school district. In order to avoid any mishaps in the future, it's highly recommended that we move the entire project onto school district property. And by doing that, by moving the property line over 30 feet, we lost 8 parking spots, but it's still in the it's the best design that we've come up with. We shared this with the site administration and community to come up with this design. So we're hopeful that through the board's approval, we can go ahead and move forward with the next stages in design and get this project moving.
So, Mr. Barnett, I would just like to, I would like to thank you for working with PBK kind of on that short notice from the layout that we received in our, in an email on April 15th that did show, just as you had mentioned, about that shared alleyway. And being able to work with PBK in that short amount of time to get us the layout that you have in the board packet for us. So thank you for your efforts on that.
Absolutely. You're welcome.
Any other discussion?
Yeah, I have a question. Has the district actually talked to people around that school to see if they want a kindergarten grade 8 school? Because, you know, I've been down there. I've put on my Marysville lanyard that showed that I was a staff person and talked to people, and I cast down very little support. People I've talked to say they don't want their little kids with the big kids. And has the school district actually gone and talked to anybody?
Penny, would you like to speak on behalf of that, or would you like me to continue?
We actually had a couple of community meetings at the school site.
Yeah, I'm sorry, Penny. I'm having a hard time understanding you.
Yes, Mr. Allison, we did have at least 2 community meetings at the school. And we invited, you know, the community, and there was support.
Did
and we had
turnout?
Staff meetings, pardon me?
They get a big turnout?
There were.
I'm a little confused here because people I pointed down there and I tell them about it, they don't know about it, and they go, guys, that's a horrible idea. So.
At the beginning of the year, January, we had on the schedule that there would be the community input, I think by the end of January. And so there were community signs put out at the local venues, and the drum was beat pretty well. The people came out, and the night of those two, or the night of those two meetings, there was 35 to 40 people at each meeting, and a variety of mixture of families with small children, older kids, and the feeling from a variety of stakeholders was that people, that having that culture that TK to 8 makes for a family community type of, because you have older kids that have grown up in the system, and they were, you know, as younger kids, they know all the staff, they build a relationship, they're moving, and then they're taking care of the younger kids. It was pretty extensive, the outreach and the now, was everybody included? No, we couldn't say that. Right. But it was,
yeah,
it was.
Gary, we don't even know what schools are going to look like next year, too. So.
Right. No, that's true. That's true.
So anyways.
But in years, I'm sorry.
Because when I go around and talk to people, it's like completely different than what you're telling us. But I can
Paul,
say
I would just
didn't know.
Paul,
not everybody gets the info.
So if you remember when we started this project, it was actually twofold. One was to try to reduce the amount of students at Yuba Gardens or take some pressure off of Yuba Gardens. And secondly, our BOGA school was picked because there was community interest. I certainly haven't found anybody in the community that I've talked to that seemed to be negative about it. Is Ashley Betty by chance in the audience?
I'm here, Randy. Yes.
Ashley, could you maybe speak to this for us?
Well, I was going to say the same thing that Penny said, that I really feel like we did diligence for weeks and posting and inviting, and then we didn't have a great turnout. So that's true. I mean, when you think about 500 and we had about 70, I mean, I guess percentage wise, it's not, you know, the whole community. But I think for what we were expecting, it was a better turnout than I think what we thought we were going to get. And out of the about 60 to 70 people that we had a couple of concerns, that were more facility based, but in terms of, a K-8 structure for their students, we didn't have one person in opposition. So I personally haven't, but I will say to the board members that are concerned, that's really concerning, because I think everybody who's behind this wants to see it be successful, of course. And all we are hearing on our end is that parents want their kids to stay with us. So yeah, I would be interested to hear more if that's kind of the feeling. I guess I would be interested to know if it was community members or parents of students, because my whole staff has expressed that all of their parents want the kids to stay with us through middle school, which is exciting. But if there's a different camp out there, then yes, we would want to know that.
Well, the two biggest concerns that I heard were, you know, kids walking to school, are they going to put in sidewalks and fix roads? And the other one was, you know, having kindergartners and first graders and eighth graders and seventh graders on the same bus.
Okay. So the busing and the walking to school, I think that came up, the walking to school came up in one of our community meetings. And so that's something that Travis may be able to speak to. But I think our solution immediately was to just encourage busing and continue doing what we're doing, because our kids are already used to it.
Yeah.
And then the second thing, Paul, did you say the kinder or the busing and then, the busing.
People are worried about their kids walking to school, people that live close, because the sidewalks and, you know, some of the streets down there, they're not.
We have two walkers, maybe three. We have one that turns the corner at our BOGA and goes to the first house on the right. And then we have a walker that goes across the street. But we don't have a whole bunch of walkers. So I think the concern was if we went up to eighth grade and students were more independent, then it may kind of inadvertently result in more walkers, and that's where the concern came from, because currently we don't have a biking walking school.
Yeah,
with older kids, I think you're right, it's something we would definitely have to look at. And then with the busing, I know transportation When they were consulted, they were talking about adding buses. So I don't know what the structure of kids on buses would look like, but I
we don't know. We won't know.
Yeah,
I mean,
as a mother of
60 passenger buses and only have 10 kids.
Yeah, I have young kids that attend schools in our district, and I wouldn't want them on with middle school, but I think there's probably a way to split them up so that it's safe.
Yeah, and I'm sure there is. That these were the concerns that the people I talked to about it. I mean, you know, my belief is that we should just spend the extra nickels and build in a whole new school for the middle school kids.
Well, I'll kind of speak on behalf of A new middle school runs about $30 to $40 million. And I'm kind of chiming in on the sidewalk thing. Discussions have to be had with the city because we don't have any jurisdiction as far as sidewalks go and things like that. And when we're designing this project, we've done a lot of work to bring all the traffic back into the school and create a safe space on our property, you know, to avoid any type of accidents to happen and make it as safe as possible. Within what we can do in our jurisdiction. Unfortunately, you know, it's not our space to add sidewalks on city property and
exactly.
Things like that. Yeah.
And maybe as more people move into the area, you know,
exactly. Yeah, exactly. And, you know, you have your developer fees and things like that. So hopefully, you know, that's something the city will be looking at with growth out there. But, yeah, we've looked at it from every angle, cost-effective-wise. And like I said, to build a new middle school is about $30 to $40 million. So that's kind of where we're at with that on budgeting, of why we ended up modernizing and adding to our BOGA.
Okay, is there any other questions or discussion? We'll entertain a motion.
Motion approved.
Is that Mr. Crawford?
Yes, it is.
Okay. Motion approved by Mr. Crawford. Is there a second?
Second.
Second by Mr. Fleury. Roll call vote. Mr. Davis?
Yes.
Mr. Boom?
Yes.
Mr. Allison?
No.
Mr. Fleury?
Yes.
Ms. Scott?
Yes.
Mr. Crawford?
Yes.
And Rasmussen, yes. Motion carries 6-1. Looks like all of our items. I just want to thank you all for your patience and being able to work through it tonight and be as safe as possible out there. Anybody else? Anything?
Good job, Randy.
Thank
you, Randy. Very good.
Well, thank you. Thank you all for your help. Have a great night. Bye now.
You too, buddy.
Bye.
Take care, kids.
How many people?